to the Belly Button Portal podcast. This is episode 3 already. So we've got 3 episodes waiting for you. So welcome back. We are going to start out with a reading from the Tao Te Ching, and it's going to be the Wayne Dyer interpretation from his book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. It's the 18th verse. And basically, it's about living without rules. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and then I will introduce you to our guest for episode 3. All right, here we go. The 18th verse. When the greatness of the Tao is present, action arises from one's own heart. When the greatness of the Tao is absent, action comes from the rules of kindness and justice. If you need rules to be kind and just, if you act virtuous, this is a sure sign that virtue is absent. Thus we see the great hypocrisy. When kinship falls into discord, piety and rites of devotion arise. When the country falls into chaos, official loyalists will appear. Patriotism is born. That's pretty deep. But yeah, it calls to mind the fact that what if we were all virtuous and we didn't need any rules and regulations? What kind of world that would be? Is that even possible? But I just want to leave you with that to think of it. Think about it. Go ahead and if you have a copy of the Tao, if you can easily get a copy. Any translation will do, but I do like Wayne Dyer's. And yeah, take a look at it and see what you think. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on to our guest today. Her name is Becky Baumgartner, and she's not just a guest. She's actually a co-host, and she's making her first appearance on the podcast. And Becky does lots and lots of things, but today we're going to talk to Becky about Reiki. And if you don't know anything about Reiki, you're going to learn something, and if you do know stuff about Reiki, well, you probably still learn something. So Becky, I just want to welcome you to the Belly Button Portal podcast.
Thank you, Joyce. I'm so happy to be here.
We are really happy to have you because Reiki is one of our favorite topics. We're just going to roll right into it and ask you a few questions about it and go from there.
Okay, awesome. I'm excited.
We're excited too. Okay, so can you explain Reiki, what it is? You know, just not in great detail because you can go on forever about Reiki. I know most of us can, but to someone who doesn't know what Reiki is, how would you explain it?
Well, the first and most important thing that there's a lot of controversy surrounding Reiki, like in the media and everything. Reiki is not a religion. So first, what Reiki is not. Reiki is not a religion. It's a healing tool. It's a gift that has been given to us, something that everybody is born with. It's in us naturally. And it's allowing us to channel universal life force energy through ourselves to heal ourselves and others.
That's pretty fascinating, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, yeah.
And everybody can do it. That's the thing. An example is if you stub your toe. You know how that hurts really bad, and usually what you do when you stub your toe is you pick up your foot and you hold your toe. And it feels better, right?
Right.
For everybody, it feels better.
Yeah.
And that's Reiki in a nutshell.
Wow, that's amazing. So if it's out there for everybody and we can all do it, how come it's not really known by most people? How come it's kind of a mystery or not even something that people know about?
Because it's something that's not taught in school, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I feel that Reiki should be taught in school and meditation should be taught in school because those are the tools that people need to survive in our world the way it is today, especially.
Right.
You need a way to heal yourself, to calm yourself, to center yourself, and to deflect all the negative energy that's coming at us from every angle. Reiki's an amazing tool for that because as you're letting the Reiki energy flow through you, all the bad stuff bounces right out. You get very centered and grounded, and good energy is an amazing tool for empaths. If you're an empath, and if you're not sure what an empath is someone that absorbs negative energies from others. It would be, an example would be if you sit down next to someone and then all of a sudden you feel terrible. You're picking up on their bad energy. And if you're an empath, Reiki is an amazing tool to get over that.
Do you think that if you start practicing Reiki and you're not an empath, that you could become more empathetic, I guess?
Oh, how could you not? Because you'll start understanding energy and you'll notice the differences and the changes in the way energy feels, and you'll be able to pick up on what other people are feeling a lot better, and that's what an empath does.
Right. So for anybody who's beginning to work with Reiki or the energy, life force energy, as you called it, what would you say, like, what would be a good, is there an easy, simple technique that you can maybe describe to our listeners, even though they can't see us, that they could maybe just try to feel the energy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So if you want to do Reiki, a real quick, easy way to do it is get yourself in a relaxed state and grounded if you can, and just simply visualize universal life force energy coming in through your crown, flowing down through and out your hands.
So through the top of your head.
And yeah, then... your head. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Not everyone knows what a crown is.
Only if you're a king or a queen, I guess. So you visualize life force energy coming in through the top of your head, your crown chakra,
or
whatever
you
call it.
Or you can visualize white light. If that is, a lot of people are familiar with that.
Okay, and coming through your body and then out through your hands.
Out through your hands. And a lot of people are just so natural and don't know about it that they'll start feeling their hands warm up. And if you feel your hands warm up or feel a tingling in your hands, you're a natural.
That's good to know. Great. And so then... if you're practicing Reiki on yourself, you just put your hands like wherever you feel pain, or, you know, like on your heart or something to calm yourself down.
Yeah, the heart's the best. That's where everybody needs Reiki.
Right.
And that would probably be where most people would feel it the most.
Okay, cool. So I've heard that you can give Reiki to just about anyone or anything.
You can.
So like animals?
Animals love Reiki.
What about like plants?
Yes, plants do great with Reiki. It actually helps them grow better.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I guess my next question is a little bit about the, I guess not the history, but like where did it come from? Like who reintroduced it, I guess, to humanity? Because for a long time, I think it was there in ancient times. And then all of a sudden, it kind of got forgotten, like a lot of things do over time with, you know, the age of rationalism and industrialization. We kind of got away from our own selves feeling things and our own selves being anything of power. So, like, how did it come back to us?
So, there's a story. It's not been, like, historically proven, but it's the story that everybody... that teaches Reiki kind of goes with, and that's Dr. Mikawa Sui.
Well, okay, so there's a woman that is sort of a hero to you, I hear, who was a student of a Reiki practitioner in Japan a long time ago, and she actually brought Reiki to the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
What's she about? Who's she and what's she about?
She's my hero, Hawaii Takata. She brought Reiki to the United States. And her quote, this is my favorite quote ever, was, if you want to learn Reiki, just do Reiki. And that's really how simple Reiki is for everyone. And there is a story about Hawaii Takata. She was, as a child, a very weak, frail child, a little bit sickly, and couldn't work like the other kids could. But she made it okay and grew up and got married, but she was still a little weak and sickly. And then she got really, really sick. She got some kind of like stomach, gastrointestinal problem going on and needed surgery. But she was so weak and frail, they couldn't do surgery on her. So they put her in the hospital and said, you need to be on bed rest in the hospital until you're strong enough for surgery. So she did that, and her surgery day was approaching, and she heard a voice. Don't do surgery. There's something better. She heard this voice in her head, and she's like, well, that's weird. And so she just blew it off.
Right.
And then, you know, the next day, she heard it again, and pretty soon she was hearing the same thing, like a couple times a day. Don't do the surgery. There's something better. in her head, and but it was like a voice, not her own voice. She was just hearing that voice, and she had been there so long, like about a month or so, like building up her strength for the surgery. And so she got to be friends with people in the hospital, especially one of the people that makes and serves the food, that kind of thing. And so that friend was in there with her, and she got up the courage to talk about what she was hearing in her head, because right. She kind of thought she might have been going a little crazy. So she talked to this lady about it, and it just so happened that this lady's relative worked in a Reiki hospital.
So they had a Reiki hospital?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is in Japan.
Yeah, in Japan they had a Reiki hospital. Yeah, and she didn't know what Reiki was, and she didn't know what a Reiki hospital was. And basically what the Reiki hospitals were is they were staffed by Reiki practitioners, and the people in the Reiki hospital got Reiki as often as they needed by like one practitioner, two practitioners, maybe even three, just what that person needed to heal. So the food delivery lady, I'm not sure exactly what she was. Anyway, she took Hawaii Takata to the Reiki hospital, and they started working on her. She got better, never needed the surgery.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so she was
a believer.
She was 100% healed. And of course she wanted to learn Reiki, but Dr. Asui is the man that rediscovered Reiki.
Right. He came up with the formalization
right.
of Reiki.
And
right.
he didn't want to teach her because she was a woman.
This was back, I guess, like turn of the century, 1900,
yes.
something around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she was a woman, and he didn't want to teach her Reiki. But Hawaii Takata, I mean, she had been saved by Reiki. She pestered him, and he taught her.
Awesome.
And then after that, of course, she wanted to learn Reiki too, but he didn't want to teach her that, but she pestered him enough, and he taught her. And then she wanted to teach Reiki to other people, so she wanted to become a Reiki master, and he really didn't want to teach her that because, you know, all along he thought that Reiki was just intended for men.
Right, right.
But he finally did end up teaching her, and then she brought Reiki to the United States.
Wow, that's really cool.
Now,
and to women, right?
And to women and to the United States. And now I think it's really important for me to interview you. I want you to tell everybody about what you saw when you were in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. So Hawaii Takata was from Hawaii originally. And so she, after her treatment in Japan, she moved back to Hawaii. And that's where she opened up, I believe, first, she opened up two Reiki hospitals or clinics, whatever you want to call them. And one of them was in Hilo, which is on the Big Island. And I was there many years ago and saw a sign for her practice. And the funny thing was is that the main sign said, massage. And then underneath it said, Reiki. And the reason she did that was because the authorities don't really like Reiki. A lot of them fear Reiki, feel like it's going to usurp some sort of a medical industry, you know, in some way. So she had to get licensed as a massage therapist in order to provide Reiki to people. So, but I saw her sign a clinic. I don't know if it's still there.
And I am so jealous.
Yeah, it's probably not there anymore. You know, that was a long time ago. Yeah, that's too bad. Because, I mean, as a human being, we're so much more, I think, than we are even allowed to think about ourselves.
And it's so amazing, once a person starts to heal on the inside, the outside takes care of itself. Our body is made to heal. That's why Reiki works so well. It's the insides. It's our soul and our emotions. And we can scientifically prove how emotions affect the body. All the cortisol and bad hormones and everything created.
Right.
By stress.
So I'm going to go back a little bit because you were talking, when you're talking about Hawaii Takata, you were talking about Reiki level 1, 2, and 3. Can you explain real briefly what those levels are?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So that's a great question.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I try.
So Reiki 1 is all about you and healing yourself. And when you go through Reiki 1, you learn all the basic hand positions. And in our classes, we teach a little, we give a little bit extra, and we teach you how to check people's chakras and how to balance them a real quick and easy way.
And the chakras are like the energy centers
of the body. Right. And each chakra is attached to an organ system. And okay. That's kind of like how the hormones of your body interplay, and how when you get those balanced, it's all the good hormones floating around in your body and not the bad ones.
Right, right.
But, train of thought there.
I interrupted you.
Oh, so I was telling you about
Reiki 1.
Oh, and it's all about you, and I was at where I told the extras. Okay. So anyways, you learn how to easily visualize energy, you know, coming in and coming out through your hands, and we teach you self-healing and hand positions for real quick and easy self-healing. So Reiki 1 is all about you. Reiki 2 is where you learn distance healing and how to transcend time and space, and which is super cool, and how to work on others and how to help others. And then Reiki 3 is the Reiki Master level. And really, Reiki Master just means teacher. So it doesn't mean you're immediately a guru or anything like that. But it just, you know how to pass attunements, and you know how to teach other people. And we go into how to do Reiki as a business in Reiki 2. Because in Reiki 2, you're learning how to work on others. But then we really go into a lot more detail on like ethics of Reiki and stuff like that in Reiki 3.
That's interesting. So you mentioned Reiki as a business. A lot of people feel like Reiki should be free, since it's something that we all can do naturally. Like, why should somebody be charged to learn something that they innately already know? How do you feel about that?
Well, there's two reasons for that. I mean, one reason is, just because you know how to do Reiki for free, is it fair for you to do Reiki for free on people all the time? I mean, yeah, it's about you too, you know? I mean, if you're really good at helping people and you're giving that service, I mean, your time,
your time is worth something.
Worth what?
Plus, it's not like it doesn't cost you anything, because you,
it costs you your time.
Your time,
and your time is a chunk of your life.
Yeah, and sometimes you need to find a place to do it as well. You might have to rent. So there are like expenses that go along with it.
That's true too. And then the other reason too is, and this goes back to what Dr. Asui taught when he was, you know, teaching Hawaii Takata, is you don't want to be an enabler. If people think that they can just keep coming to you for Reiki, they're not going to work on themselves.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, but, and then, well, there's, I lied. There's three reasons.
Okay.
people don't, if they don't pay for it, they don't appreciate it as much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a better way to describe it. People have to give of themselves.
Let's give something of value to get something of value.
Of value, right. So if they don't give something, they don't value it as much.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. Well, awesome. Well, that was a lot of info in just like almost 20 minutes, which is great. And we'll probably, if it's okay with you, maybe interview you again and maybe go a little bit more in depth.
Oh, definitely.
Into Reiki and how powerful it is and so on. And you give classes on Reiki, and you're also a practitioner, so you,
yes,
you do Reiki sessions.
Okay. Yes.
So if anybody listening is interested in either a Reiki class or a session, there'll be check the show notes. There'll be links to Becky's information, how to get in touch with her, so you can maybe schedule something, and more information on Reiki. And I'll put some information about Hawaii Takata in there as well, just so if anybody's interested in learning some more about that feisty little lady.
Yes, my favorite. Hawaii Takata.
I want to get you a t-shirt. So our last question, which Laura and I talked about adding to our podcast, is that we are going to ask you, or any of our guests, at the very end, if you could be any animal, what animal would you choose to be and why?
I would be one of my dog or cats. Because they're totally spoiled.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for being subjected to all my questions.
Yeah, thank you for having me anytime. Okay. I would love to come back.
Well, we will definitely have you back. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening to the Belly Button Portal podcast. This is episode 3, and we'll have episode 4 next week, so stay tuned for that. If you haven't already subscribed, please do that. You can do that on Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Leave some comments for us, like us, all that stuff. It really helps us get some confidence for our newly born podcast, so we appreciate all of you out there. Thanks, and have a great day.